This is episode 417, recorded February 3rd, 2017. Packard pokes at Diamond Vices and Copious Copulations. I want to thank Tom the Atheist on from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
Hello. And also joining us from the far south of me is Tom, your friendly neighborhood atheist.
Hey, that's me.
I even got it right. It only took me 6 months.
Everything takes time.
It does. It takes time.
It's a learning curve.
It's a learning curve. We're figuring this shit out. We're figuring this shit out. If you have been living under a rock or you just don't care too much about politics, then this is all new news to you. Donald Trump recently put up a Muslim ban. I don't want anybody coming into the United States that's Muslim for certain reasons, except for the certain places where he has his companies at and then he's doing business with them. And those Muslim countries, those are okay. But anybody else where he doesn't have his Trump Plaza stuck up their ass someplace, well, then you're a bad guy.
He's trying to keep the evil out.
Yeah, he's trying to keep the evil.
We figured that out. How can we get him out of there?
Yeah. And one of the problems is with what he's doing, though, is with this Muslim ban that he's got in place, he's actually costing the country a lot of money right now, especially a lot of big businesses like Apple, Alphabet, which I've never heard of, Microsoft and Amazon, and also Facebook. Their market share has dropped dramatically because they do a lot of businesses with those other countries, and a lot of the people who are employed there are work at those companies, and they've actually lost over $2.4 trillion on Monday. And Alphabet, which I said I've never heard of before, they lost $13.8 billion in market share caps. I mean,
yeah, which is a value and not a value and not revenue, but yes, it's still important. Yeah,
exactly. Now, the tech companies quickly condemned Trump's executive orders over the weekend, this last weekend. The Google CEO, Sundar Pichai, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, called the order painful and in a company that memo that noted that over 100 of his employees were affected by the order. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, there's so many things that we, I wouldn't say we outsource, but we bring in tech talent from other countries here. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing that I keep thinking about. It speaks to how much our school systems are failing and how our workforce isn't being prepared for what is the actual workforce that we need. There's just this dearth. There's this desert of tech people who are tech savvy, tech trained. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're going out of the country. So if Trump wants to, you know, I think this comes back to Trump saying, well, I'm going to bring jobs back to America. Well, you can bring the jobs back all you want to, but if our workforce hasn't been retrained, mm-hmm. right, or hasn't been trained in the first place to do tech jobs, then there's nobody to fill those positions. So I would like to know what Trump's re-education, retraining plan is for the American worker that doesn't involve them getting into millions of dollars of debt, and how he's planning besides the fact that this, okay, it's not actually a ban, but it's effectively a ban. everybody knows yeah. that as you look at it. It's just, it's ridiculous. And I don't know. The man he sprung this whole thing on the different different branches of government who were supposed to enforce it. He didn't bring them into this at all. They were caught flat-footed. They didn't know what was going on. So I'm going to turn it over, but it's a huge pooch screw. But then again, everything about this has been a huge pooch screw.
Yeah. The real Paul Marshall mentioned in the chat room that just recently, Donald threatened to invade Mexico. That's not going to go over well.
And he insulted Australia.
Yeah.
He hung up. He was on the phone with them and hung up with them. I'm like, this man is.
The rest of the world is just starting to realize that we've elected a giant baby.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And the thing is, though, there's this meme that was been running around. It says, took Obama 8 years to get the world to recognize us, you know, as not the bad country that we were previously thought of because of the Republicans that were in office. And Trump come along and destroyed it in 8 days.
Yeah.
So
take 8 years to recover from Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Tom, your thoughts. Sorry. Go ahead.
Just you saying is he's under this delusion that if we get rid of all the skilled people that are taking these American jobs, they'll be left for Americans to do. Well, mm-hmm. Americans don't know how to do those jobs. Americans are completely untrained because they, you know, are the best country in the world because they're blind to the fact that most of the tech jobs have been taken by foreigners. Mm-hmm. All these countries have been sending their people to America to get the proper education are now going, you know, come back home and we can do it from here. Yep. We don't need to do it in America. Let America, you know, do it themselves. And we don't know how.
Yeah, that's where those, you know, the jokes about the phone center started up back in the early 90s.
Pot Kettle Black, Trump's business holdings have been outsourced to China and a bunch of other places.
Yeah. And a lot of the buildings that he does, when he was, you know, as a private citizen, he would use, instead of buying American steel and things like that, he would buy stuff from China and whatever. He would import the cheapest materials from other countries instead of buying locally. So he has no footing to stand on here, say, make America great again, because the fact is everything that he's made has been from other countries. In fact, a lot of the shit that even the hats that he's like, make America great again, those are shit was made over in China as well. So it's all bullshit.
Oh, well, and all of the contractors, the local contractors who built that Trump Tower or the casino, whatever it was in New York, a lot of them went unpaid.
Mm-hmm.
He welched on paying the American workers. So this is the argument I have with family and friends who support Trump. I'm like, really? You think that he's got them? He wants to make America great again? No, he wants to make himself great again.
Yeah. The real Paul Marshall says in the chat room, how would it be if a large proportion of the American public just mailed a pacifier to the Donald?
make that a butt plug for either end, and I'm in. I'll chip in.
Now I have to admit that when it comes to certain things in physics, I am the lamest layman that there is, because some of this stuff I don't understand, and I'm not a chemist, I'm not a physicist, so this is amazing news to me. I don't know how true this is, but I am willing to hope that this is a real thing. Apparently, for the first time ever on planet Earth, we have metal hydrogen. Wrap your minds around that for just a few moments. Atomic metallic hydrogen was created by Thomas D. Caddett, a professor of natural sciences, Isaac Silver Silver and postdoctorate fellow Raymond Dias, in addition to helping scientists answer fundamental questions about the nature of matter, the material is theorized to have a wide range of applications, including room temperature superconductors. So we could, if this actually pans out and we can keep hydrogen in thin metal strips, we could have wiring that's inside these, in the chips there, that there is basically no lag between the front end of the chip to the end part of the chip. It completes the circuit with no resistance whatsoever. Because what I do know about electronics, though, is in wiring and whatever, there is some resistance there. That's why when we have our chips and the computers, that's why they get so hot, is because all those wires heat up. If there's no resistance, those chips can be even smaller, faster, and with no heat resistance.
So what you're saying is it's irresistible.
Well,
I have that music video in my head.
It just kind of did give me that wink, you know, say, hey, you know, come on over here, big boy. But now, to create it, they squeeze a tiny bit of hydrogen, 495 gigapascals. I'm not sure how big that is. It's probably way smaller than the human hair. More than 71 million pounds per square inch was squeezed. Now, that's greater than the pressure that's at the center of the Earth. At those extreme pressures, Sylvia explained that the solid molecule hydrogen, which consists of molecules on the lattice sites of the solid, breaks down, and the tiny bound molecules disassociate to transform to atomic hydrogen, which is a metal. Now, what they don't know, is, from what I understand, is because even though they've made this into a metal, they don't know what's going to happen if they take the pressure off. Will it remain a metal at that point, or does there have to contain all that pressure on it constantly? We don't know yet.
Well, remember, it's in a diamond vise.
Yeah, they've used a diamond device to squeeze this down, which is really kind of cool, too. Connie, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, the diamond vise, though, is specially created because usually they've tried to do this a lot, and the diamonds would fissure or crack because there's leakage.
Right.
And so they actually, I found an article which was saying, do we have metallic hydrogen or not? The problem with this is they've only done this once, and there's only one sample. Mm-hmm. They only have one data point, a single measure of the reflectivity of the sample under high pressure. Because so it could this, they're saying it looks like it's metallic hydrogen, but is that just because the surface is reflective? And could it be something else? There's an alumina coating that they used on the diamonds to prevent the hydrogen from leaking into the crystal diamond and making it brittle. So this isn't bad. This is science doing what scientists are supposed to do. They're looking at it and say, you only have one study, you only have one sample, we don't even know yet what this is. Right. And so they're being critical. They're thinking, you know, it's not that they don't want it to be a solution. They're just saying, well, these are the reasons that we're concerned about it.
Right. Now there is speculation that this is, if it's compressed down and if they could use it the way it is, it might even be able to be a rocket fuel, from what, yes, I'm here on the page here. Now, that would be really awesome if it can stay compressed down and we can use it for that.
Your tiny engines.
Yeah, very tiny engines. We don't have to have these big, bulky pieces of shit engines. Although, I guarantee you, even if we did, we're able to make smaller engines to do that, we would still probably use the larger ones just because we're going to be pushing a lot of shit out into space and we're going to be going out even further. So we're going to take a lot of fuel one way or the other. And hydrogen.
I think that whole thing about the fuel is it's something that they could reconstitute along the way.
Well, they're hoping if we can find water in space or source water, we can make the fuel out there.
I see.
And hydrogen is one of the most basic elements of the entire universe. You can find it pretty much everywhere. It's like the 7-Eleven of atoms out there.
It's the first hydrogen, the first one. The things it could be used for are really the applications are pretty amazing. I mean, you know, superconductors, because normally superconductors have to be coded to be nearly absolute zero in temperature. And so if this is room temperature, like you're saying, there's room temperature, you know, heat and friction is what breaks those things down. There's a more complete transfer of electricity. They call it in this article, it's the Holy Grail, but it kind of is, I guess it's what is like 100 years now that they've been talking about this and saying this is their theory, they're hypothesizing that this could be, am I using that right word right?
Kind of like the Higgs boson. It's something that they figured they could do for a very long time, like 80 years. They figured they could do it, but they just haven't had, they just now getting the technology that's enabling them to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't get this by praying for it.
No. Yeah. The other things that could be magnetically levitation, high-speed trains could be more possible, and electric cars could be more efficient.
Oh, yeah.
So those are some of the practical.
Could you imagine if, let's just say, if this can be a fuel source, could you imagine this being put into cars, you know, this being actually run on actual hydrogen for this then?
No, the hydrogen fuel cells would now become, if they could make something that's a stable solid, the hydrogen fuel cell would make the battery look like the first cell phone.
Horse and buggy.
But I mean, considering the fact is that the batteries in cars now, I mean, for they basically take up the whole undercarriage of the car.
Yeah. I mean, you get a metal hydrogen battery, it'd be like a 9-volt size battery that you plug into your car.
Instead of Oh God, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, that would be crazy. That'd be awesome. I mean, and cell phones could run on a battery probably the size of a watch battery, maybe. Like I said, I don't know that much about this. I don't know if this is actually possible. It needs to be more. It needs to be tested out more. But if it does pan out, the applications are amazing.
I'm so glad to see the other side. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I think it's like transparent aluminum. I think Scotty came back from the future. It's like, here it is. It's possible. Now you figure out how to do it.
How do you know if it didn't invent it?
Yeah. I did read it on that and a while back, and actually we can make any aluminum transparent with a little bit of heat. So it's already here. It's been here for years. So. Anyone have any last thoughts on this?
Like, see, most technology is something that just was a pie in the eye idea for like a science fiction show.
Yeah.
That somebody like, well, what if we could actually do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whoever theorized this probably saw it on Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
we should try to actually do that.
That's not far removed from the truth, because the cell phones that we have today.
Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah, inspired by Star Trek, exactly.
Communicators, yeah. That's what I loved about my first Razor. I had a pink Razor, and I'm like, this is like, communicator, beam me up, Scotty.
Oh, I had like the first Motorola flip phone that looked like a Star Trek communicator.
Yeah,
you can actually buy a connector device that connects up to your regular cell phone, and then you can do that. I saw a review on one that recently, and it's actually pretty good, and you can actually. Can't even tell you that you're on the cell, that you're on the communicator. So, although it does kind of look kind of really geeky, but who cares? You're looking like really like, hey, I'm just stepped out of a fucking spaceship.
Well, that's the funny thing is the thing that looks like a communicator is now considered old technology.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny how that works out?
Well, that's how the new Star Trek. They just their badges.
Yeah.
Were the communicator.
Yeah, exactly. And there was one like that for that as well. There's a communicator that looks like that. It's a little
and really, you know, the Apple Watch is almost that.
That's more Dick Tracy than I would say than it's Star Trek. But
except for no camera yet.
Yet. Wait for it. It's coming.
I love Star Trek.
Yeah.
While we are poking at your news, you can poke us at Facebook and Twitter, or poke us with an email at ppapodcast@gmail.com, or leave us a message at 662-709-PPAP. Join us live on YouTube/PackardPokeSet on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. Be part of the conversation by live chatting with us during the show. Enjoy the show? Help support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/PackardPokeSet, or look awesome by buying something at cafepress.com/PackardPokeSet. No money, no problem. You can help us by sharing the show with friends and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. And be sure to check out our secondary podcast, The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. This episode dropped this morning. And a little bit of news on that. We are going to be moving that show from Friday's posting into a Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Right now, as it was currently, as of this morning, it dropped at 7 a.m. Fridays, but we're moving that to Thursday. So you're going to get the Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe podcast a day earlier. So look for that.
They're holding their breath.
They're holding their breath like, ooh, we get to make fun of the Bible a day sooner. As if anybody's waiting for us to make them to make fun of the Bible any sooner.
Yep.
All right.
At least we read the thing.
At least we're reading it. At least we are reading it. And you don't have to read it. We'll read it to you, but you can follow along, you know, if you want to. Apparently, yarn is a big commodity in Tennessee.
Those Afghans aren't going to make themselves, Packard.
I know. A woman in Tennessee, she's refusing to do any business with anyone that comes in that says they want pussy hat pink yarn. I didn't know what a pussy hat was. I thought, okay, well, maybe it's like something for your cat. I don't know. But apparently, it's this hat. It's got little ears on it, and you can, you know, it's very popular over in Japan where everybody's wearing like little ears because reasons, I guess. But anyway,
Hawaii, no, that's not what it's for, Packard. Come on,
I'm just saying. But apparently, she has some specialized pink yarn because pink doesn't appear anywhere else on the planet, just in her shop and just in yarn. Of course, there's a comedian who said there are certain colors that only exist in yarn, but
hey, you colorist, you your bigotry is showing, you colorist.
But she's a Christian, and she's like, hey, if you are gonna go and support fighting for women's equality, then no pussy hat pink colors for you. You don't get any. I'm not going to sell to you, because apparently she forgets how economies work. What they, I have a money. You have a shop. You have a thing I want to buy. I buy a thing
and I use it for whatever I want. You don't have a say over what I do with that thing after I buy it. That's how this works. The funniest thing about this is her name. Her name is Elizabeth Poe. Not even kidding. Not even kidding. And she's the proprietress of The Joy of Knitting in Franklin, in Tennessee. She's a female business owner. Congratulations. You know, we need more female business owners. And Williamson County, registered voter. Like, that was neat. We needed to know that. Which makes it doubly unfortunate that she doesn't recognize the debt that she owes to women's liberation movement. After turning down a sale of yarn to a customer who sought to knit one for one of the movement statements line, Poe told the customer, she told her this, and I cannot believe that just came out of her fucking mouth. She says, "Ma'am, if I had yarn for a project that you were looking for, I cannot condone that behavior anymore, and I just can't sell it." Really? Really? What fucking difference does it make what they do with the yarn after you've sold it? You made a money. And the fact is that the woman is charging, what was it, Connie, about $13, $15 for a bolt of this shit or whatever it is? How are they?
Actually, yes. Just let me look that up real quick here. I'm sorry. I have her page open. And $13 to $115 per skein of yarn.
That's a lot of yarn.
That's a lot of fucking money. Yeah. I can buy a skein of yarn at, well, my local Walmart for about under $3. Mm-hmm. That's really
fucking... What's the common pussy hat color pink, Connie?
Well, you know what? Guess what? What's ironic is her Facebook page, the little banner, you know, mm-hmm. the whatever you call that on Facebook, it's all pink yarn.
Maybe she's the distributor of pink yarn. This is where the country's pink yarn is coming from. It's from the Joy of Knitting shop.
See, my question is, are people coming in and saying, "I'm doing this hat. I need yarn for it"?
I don't know.
I wonder. I don't think that that's what's happening, Tom. I think I see where you're going with this. I think that it's entirely this woman asking the people coming in, "Well, why do you need pink yarn?
I'm
knitting a vagina. What do you want to know?"
Okay, let me tell you that I shared this in our Dropbox. The town that they live in Tennessee, mm-hmm. all right, they have a 65.21% of the people in this county or town are religious. And of those, Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, and other make up the majority of that, 65.21%. In the USA, the percentage of people who identify as religious are 49.42%. Mm-hmm. I looked at a webpage for this town in Tennessee, too, and somebody said, yeah, if you're religious, you'll fit right in.
Oh, Jesus Christ. If I ever have to go through Tennessee ever again, I'm going to make sure I steer clear of that city.
They're right. They're like either south or north of Nashville. And Tennessee is actually an unusual state because I think it's there's the east end of the state and there's the west end of the state. And one of them is predominantly conservative GOP and the other is more liberal.
Yeah.
It's a weird state. I don't know. I've never been there.
I've driven through Tennessee and I've driven through Nashville. It's a huge city. It's a huge city. Now this is from her page. This is something she posted up on her Facebook at The Joy of Knitting. With the recent Women's March on Washington, I'm going to do this in my Southern accent, okay? With the recent Women's March on Washington, I went into a totally different. Forget it. I'll just read it. I can't get into
my... Thank Dolly. Channel your inner Dolly Parton. That's Tennessee.
I got to channel my inner Gomer Pyle here. surprise, surprise, surprise. Well, the recent Women's March on Washington, I asked that if you want yarn for any project for the women's movement, that you please shop for yarn elsewhere. The vulgarity, vile, and evilness of this movement is absolutely despicable. She doesn't understand how a thing works, apparently. That kind of behavior is unacceptable and is not welcomed at the Joy of Knitting. I will never need that kind of business to remain open. Two wrongs will never make it right. Again, she doesn't know how a thing works. As the owner of a business of this business and a Christian, I have a duty to my customers and my community to promote values of mutual respect, love, compassion, understanding, and integrity. I think she just totally took that whole statement and just flushed it.
Because at what point are we supposed to be goose-stepping?
Yeah, she is definitely, she's doing the exact opposite of what she just put there. Respect and love and all that compassion, then you should have respect and love and compassion for those people. You shouldn't say, hey, I'm not going to sell you a thing because I don't like what you're doing. That's none of your goddamn business. She goes, the women's movement is counterproductive to the unity of family, friends, community, and nation. I do pray for these women. May the God work out his love in their hearts and continue to heal and unite Americans. Elizabeth, like she's signing like she's writing to a friend, so she puts her name on it. Like, we didn't know it was.
She calls women's genitalia. No, she calls women's genitalia vile.
Yeah.
And actually, on Hermant Mehta on Patheos says, you know, how much self hatred does she have that she considers it? That's just grotesque. It's wrong. And there's a meme that she shares on her page. This does not mean I will, I am a knitter. This does not mean I will knit for free. Yarn is expensive. Thank you. Well, God, yeah, it is in your shop. And I actually posted a response to that. I said, this is very Christian of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, this whole thing is, anyway, I don't want to dominate. Go ahead.
Tom, go ahead.
Well, it's like typical religious logic. I mean, they believe in a loving God that kills everybody. They believe in pro-life. Unless they're actually alive, then, you know, kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's backwards. It's like bizarro reality for religious people. Everything they profess to, you know, stand for is the exact opposite of what they actually stand for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The scary thing to me is that this woman looks very much like my stepmother. Like,
oh God, I'm sorry.
if she had a different name there, I'd be like, I didn't know she opened a yarn shop. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
The whole pussy hat thing was, well, it timed to coincide with our president, his comment about grabbing a woman's pussy, and it coincided with the Women's March, which was actually the Women's March in Washington, D.C. was peaceful and positive and very well attended, and there were zero arrests. And the pussy hat is a demand for fair treatment.
Yeah.
Somebody shouldn't just be able to come up and, you know, to take back women's bodies and say, look. And you know,
the thing about the Women's March, and all those marches that were across the nation everywhere, and they, in some places in other countries, because they decided to march for whatever reason, I guess. There was
You can't make it to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, there was absolutely nobody got arrested. Nobody. Nope. Not even one arrest. No one even got a fine. And so these right-wing nutjob religiotards out there are saying, hey, they did a really bad thing. Well, hey, there was no arrest. So what are you complaining about? You're always complaining about, oh, look at all the violence that they're doing. Look at this. Like, no, none of that. No arrest, no violence, no nothing. So what do you got to stand on? Oh, they're filled with devil spirit, Jezebel, fucktardry.
You know, if they came in and said, I want to knit a gun holster, she'd be like, oh, yeah, that's perfectly fine. In my pretty gun holster, I'll give it to you on sale.
How about you do that? If you're in Tennessee and if you actually listen to this show and you know where this woman is, go in there and see if she'll sell you yarn for a gun holster. And let
Godless Glenn is in
Tennessee. Yeah, Godless Glenn is in Tennessee. Maybe he'll go out there and see. Yeah, I want to buy some pink yarn. I want to knit a gun holster. And I do that.
I'm absolutely sure she'd have no problem with that.
I would wonder if she didn't. If she didn't, that would be the biggest hypocrisy out there.
Her Facebook page is designated as female. I'm like, oh God, you don't think that men knit and crochet?
Well, I certainly don't, because I can't do a knitting. I can't do a knit. I failed a macrame in grade school.
You know what, though? My ex, a late father-in-law, not only knitted or crocheted, he also tatted lace. He was an amazing tatted man. Yes, he did. Yeah, well, he was born in 1903 or something. So, you know, he was just... Yeah, no, sorry, 1913, but yeah, he could tat, he learned how to do that.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
I know what lace is. Doilies? Yeah, he made doilies. those lace, never mind. He was
really things from the 1800s? Saw some in the museum.
People love the doilies.
Oh, Judy Claire.
I got the vapors down. All right.
All right.
This woman's business deserves to fail.
Yeah, I hope her business fails spectacularly.
It won't, though.
She's
surrounded by the loving arms of her
good Christian women.
Yeah. You know, you go to a wedding and you hear about the bride is Bridezilla because she's making unreasonable demands or things like that. Well, sometimes it's not the bride that's the Godzilla or Bridezilla. Sometimes it's the maid of honor who's the maid of honorzilla. Brian and Jennifer Butler never forget their wedding day. And this was happening, guess where? Florida. Because why not? Now, Amanda Willis, she was the maid of honor for this couple, and she took the focus away from their happy day by getting arrested for numerous charges, including larceny, battery, grand theft of a motor vehicle, and to top off the cake, a violation of probation.
Well, at least it wasn't masturbation.
If it had been
actually, she exposed herself to EMTs and doctors, I guess. So I don't know. Yeah. There might have been some.
Yeah, there might have been some of that. She apparently, while she was there, she drank up an entire ball of Fireball. I don't know if you've ever had that shit before. I've tasted that.
It's cinnamon.
Yeah, it's very cinnamony. And she fucking downed a whole bottle of that by herself. That speaks a lot to her, how strong her constitution is, I guess. But she's definitely motivated.
Exactly.
She was apparently drunk in about 20 minutes or half an hour later. That's when the bridesmaidzilla allegedly set the standard for it would be hard for future inappropriate wedding members to top. Apparently, she took the groom's car keys right from his pocket. Could you imagine that? The bridesmaid walking up to the groom and say, I'm going to start fishing around in his pockets while the bride is standing there. That's not a good way to be on your new wife's side. The bride is like, hey, what is she doing? I don't know. She's just fishing in my pockets. Okay, I'll just let her do that. No, you don't do that. And then once she got the car keys, she attempted to drive with his car, take off with the car, apparently. She almost ran over him, which is the groom. According to the arrest affidavit attained by the Huffington Post, she drove towards the parking lot where the groom was. Hanging out of the passenger side door, he managed to stop the car by grabbing the emergency brake. Other guests wrestled her out of the car and back into the reception area.
Why? Well,
I don't know.
Me either.
And while she was inside, she grabbed a bottle of Captain Morgan. There's so much alcohol at this party. Fireball and Captain Morgan. Here in Wisconsin, we have a lot of alcohol. Florida, you just put all the, you put every wedding I've ever been to shame. I'm sorry. You just put every wedding I've been to shame. She grabbed the bottle of Captain Morgan, guzzled it down.
Nobody could stop her?
I don't know if anybody wanted to try, so I don't
come
know.
Come on. Yeah. Oh, come on. Pick up the chair.
Yeah. Now, apparently she banged her head against the divider inside the squad car, you know, so this way she makes it look like she got assaulted, I'm sure, which is thing that people do sometimes. When the squad car got to the jail, she claimed that she's having an asthma attack, lay down in the back of the car, shaking if she was having a seizure. That's not how an asthma attack works. You don't start shaking it.
She drank two bottles of liquor. Of course she's having a fucking heart attack.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry.
Mitchell McConaughey was mentioning there, she did allegedly expose herself to two of the EMTs, one of which was over 65 and probably thanked her. She kicked over a bedpan. I'm hoping it wasn't full. I don't know why they mentioned it, unless it was full.
She had two bottles of alcohol. Of course yeah. There was pee in it.
It probably was.
And blood.
Yeah, and she was... He was charged with grand theft of the auto, two counts of battery on an officer or a firefighter. They're not really clear here. Battery on a person of 65 years or older, intentional yes. battery, petty larceny, and the first degree and violation of the probation, which I mentioned earlier. She remains behind bars in law in lieu of a $25,000 bail. You could sit in jail for that kind of cash, lady. You are not worth it. You are just not worth it. Connie, your thoughts.
Oh, I have too many. I obsessed on this story. I looked up all of her priors, and there was assault and battery, crime and mischief, violation of pretrial related things, grand theft, failure to appear, bond, trespassing, criminal registration, and then our present one. You know, I actually looked up one of the places she was arrested at, and there's like boarded up windows on the house and it's listed. I'm just thinking, wow, this gal's a really, really hot mess. Now, here's my question. Here's my big question. Why is she the maid of honor?
Well, that's exactly what I was saying. I would give her, you know, to her credit, she managed to talk the bride into having her the maid of honor. You wouldn't have a lot of that kind of history.
I don't have much respect for the bride at this point then, because if she's allowed herself to be scammed by this woman to be the maid of honor, maybe she threatened her. Maybe it's like, if you don't make
me the maid of honor,
I will show up and I will ruin your wedding. So.
Or maybe the bride wanted to divert attention from herself.
Yes. Maybe
she's worried that she's going to get drunk and make an idiot of herself. So she's thinking, I'll get her to come along. And anything stupid that I do, she will just blow out of the water and nobody will even notice me.
Okay, I guess. No, see, I say that this person is one of her old drinking buddies. I also suspect, I'm just going to throw this out there, you know, doing my best Barney Miller or whatever, you know, Barney Miller, but doing my best, you know, Perry Mason. I suspect that making her the maid of honor was better because she could keep her clothes, because maybe there was something that happened with the husband to be with this gal.
She made him out so she keep an eye on her.
Yep.
Ah.
Yep. I don't think we'll ever find this out, but I just like, oh my God, this stinks to the high heaven in so many ways. It's so weird. When you look at it,
it's very, very weird. Very weird.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
Tom, you have any thoughts on any more other thoughts on this?
No, it's just that I know people like this, unfortunately. I've seen what they do. I can't imagine anyone topping this kind of fiasco, but I've known people that have gone nearly this far. But now we're bridesmaid. Normally they're just one of the guests.
Yeah.
So maybe the bride thought, if I have her in the wedding party, maybe she might control herself a little bit more, and just completely blew it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do feel sorry for the bride. If this is her best friend, she needs to elevate.
You've got to see this picture. You have got to see this picture. this lady, she does not look like, well, they took the picture of her in jail. She looks like she's still about 10,000 sheets to the wind in this. There'll be a link here below. On the,
I will say that's what, that's her worst, that's her worst photo, her, you know, her, that she took for this, because I've looked at all eight others and it's like, oh yeah, she's really out of it in this one or down in the mouth.
Does anyone notice that her eyes seem a little bit far apart?
Yeah. Yes. That too.
Mm-hmm. Blame Florida.
Blame Florida.
Fuck the motherfucker, fuck the motherfucker, fuck the motherfucker, he's a fucking motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker, fuck the fucking fucker, fuck the motherfucker, he's a total fucking fucker. Fuck the motherfucker, fuck the motherfucker, fuck the motherfucker, fucking fuck the motherfucker. Fuck the motherfucker, fuck the motherfucking pope.
And tonight we have our Pope on Rope, the Pope Roderick Leo di Borgia. Yeah, he was age 61 when he became Pope, and he was age 72 when he stopped being Pope in back in 1492 to 1503. Again, this is from the Respect Existence or Expect Resistance page on the Facebook there, the War of Fanaticism. This is our third Pope that we've done in the series. Now, he was presided over more orgies than masses, apparently, wrote Edward Gideon. A career highlight was the 1501 Joust of the Whores, when 50 dancers were invited to slowly strip around the Pope's table. I got to get invited to more parties. Alexander and his family grew up gleefully threw chestnuts on the floor, forcing the women to grovel around their feet like swine, and then offered prizes of fine clothes and jewelry for the man who could fornicate with the most women. There's a lot of contests I'd like to see. This is one contest. You can find this on YouTube, or you can find it on certain areas of porn sites, I'm sure. But if you're looking at this picture right now, you've got to see this guy. You've just got to see this guy. This guy looks like if he wasn't the Pope or a Pope, he would never be able to get laid ever. This guy is in one ugly motherfucker.
Well, that's not what I read. Evidently, he was very attractive, very really? Seductive. He had a way with words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's not the only thing he could do with his tongue, but yeah. Oh my God, he was quite the ladies' man. This portrait must have been taken, you know, done very, very, very late. Mm-hmm. In his life. I don't know. That or the power of the seat compelled all these women.
It's possible that the power of the seat is what made him popular at that point.
Well, he's part of the bourgeois family, which, again, I am not interested in a lot of intrigue and things like that. But yeah, this is what that's a part of. He's a part of that very, very sexualized Pope, fathered children. And actually, it's called the Banquet of the Chestnuts, known more properly as the Ballet of Chestnuts, referred to as a fete in Rome, and particularly to a supper purportedly held in the Papal Palace by Cesare Borgia, son of Pope Alexander VI. And that's the other name that he goes, you know, that's his papal name. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of like 50 very, very well-trained harlots who, you know, danced and crawled around, and I guess people had sex. And according to the mythology or history, I don't know which it is, Alexander VI was like, he preferred men who had a very virile presentation and could copulate copulously, you know, just like over and over and over again. Yes, copiously. They were judged and given favors of silks and jewels and everything by how many times they could perform the act. You know, could complete conjugate.
I've got to get invited to more parties. This is
got to join the popacy.
Yeah, Todd, did you have any?
Anybody who is not confused by religion really is not looking at religion very well, because the things you dig up, modern day, just the pedophilia ring that gets tucked away, but the past of religion, especially, you know, Catholics. They were a raunchy bunch. I mean, they were not nice people. They were really horrific. And they were just the biggest hypocrites you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so bizarre that people give them a pass.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're doing God's work. It doesn't matter what they do. They're doing God's work. Okay.
Yeah. Well, repression's a bitch, isn't it? Weird. It's so weird.
Well, it's the old, you know, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
that's exactly
what. Yeah. Well, Pentecostals do it too.
Oh, yeah. They're all. This is not just the Catholics that do this kind of stuff. This is something that goes within all religions, that there's always somebody that's in those religions that's higher up that will manipulate the people who are below them to do certain things. Even in today's modern society, there's a guy in Africa. He got his people to eat grass, drink gasoline, and a bunch of other stupid shit. Oh, and fornicate with him because he has special magic seed, because he's specially by a special God guy, whatever.
Yeah, but so, they were taking notes from Catholicism.
Yeah.
Who seated kings and queens and all of this. I mean, they were actually more powerful than the people who ruled other countries. And that's why this is featured. It's
you know, the irony of what you just said there about the kings and the queens and whatnot is the fact is the latest episode of the Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe that dropped this morning, we were doing the genealogy thing there because I listened to it again. And because it never got mentioned before until that particular chapter, all of a sudden now we've got dukes and now we've got kings. Which is out of fucking nowhere. Oh, we got dukes now. Okay. We got kings though. Wait a minute. Where'd this all come from? Nowhere. We just decided to came up with a new title. So.
Oh, okay. That or the King James Version decided we have to make sure that our form of government is mentioned in these books. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So either way.
Fit, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, we have to get out of here. We'll be back next week with our regular short show. So we'll see you then. This has been Packard Pokes at. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.